Well, please have your Bibles open at our reading of Amos, and verse 12 is my text. Therefore, thus I will do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. The words, prepare to meet your God, is a sober warning to everyone here, to everyone in Stowmarket, in fact, to everyone on this planet. Prepare to meet your God. In fact, these words should be the biggest wake-up call you've ever heard. Now, of course, some people don't take too kindly to warnings. They don't like them. Let me use an illustration. A battleship had been to sea on manoeuvres in heavy weather for several days, and the visibility was poor, patchy fog. So the captain remained on the bridge, keeping an eye on all the activities. Shortly after dark, the lookout on the wing reported light bearing on the starboard bow. Is it steady or moving astern? The captain called out. The lookout replied, steady, captain, which meant they were on a dangerous collision course with that ship. The captain then called the signalman. Signal the ship. We are on a collision course. Advise you change course 20 degrees. Back came the signal. Advisable for you to change course 20 degrees. The captain said, send, I'm a captain, change course 20 degrees. I'm a seaman, second class, came the reply. You had better change course 20 degrees. By this time the captain was furious. He spat out, send, I'm a battleship, change course 20 degrees. Now! Back came the flashing light. I'm a lighthouse. The battleship changed course. Warnings are important. Warnings are very important. But some will still say, I just don't like them. Do you know what? I don't want to hear them. They're too scary. I don't want to be warned about things. When I used to test the fire alarms on the base, people used to moan. They didn't like them. They were loud. And sometimes they made people jump. They weren't best pleased. But that's what warnings are supposed to do. Make people sit up, take notice, react. In fact, genuine warnings in life are a blessing. Even everyday warnings are a type of blessings. For instance, the engine warning light that comes on occasionally. You stop, saving you money and quite probably saving your engine. The smoke detector comes on in the middle of the night through smoke coming up the stairs. You react, you get out, you save your life. The doctor warns you of an impending health issue. You take notice of the doctor. You follow the instructions. And hopefully you get better. But the sad thing is some people choose to ignore all the warnings. Some ignore the engine warning lights. You know, I've heard of some people who stick a plaster over it. That solved that problem. Some people take the batteries out of the smoke detectors. That stopped that annoying little beep. You know, when the batteries are running low, you get that beep every minute. I've solved that problem. I took the batteries out. It's no longer a smoke detector. Some will insist the doctor's wrong, doesn't know what he's talking about. Common sense should inform you that warnings are a good thing. They prepare us for potential trouble coming our way. In fact, your reaction to a warning indicates whether you're wise or foolish. A fool thinks of warnings as a bad idea. He doesn't want them. He'd rather carry on doing what he's always been doing, undisturbed from warnings. But a wise man takes note of warnings. He realizes that they give him time to prepare. Now, when a warning comes from our Maker, from Almighty God, you have to be a complete and utter fool not to take note. And what we have in this text, our text this evening, is probably one of the greatest warnings of all time for all people. The warning is clear from God through his prophet Amos. Prepare to meet your God. And some might cry, aha, when will that ever happen? Well, the clear and obvious answer is on the day of your death, when you die. Hebrews 9:27, and it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So God is warning us here through the words of Amos, before we die, we need to prepare to meet our God. So, let me ask, how is your preparation going? Dear listener, are you personally prepared to meet God? I'll leave you with that thought for a minute. 3 points that I want to highlight this evening. Firstly, I want to tell you that God is gracious to warn us in this way. Secondly, I want to highlight why some people do not listen to God's gracious warnings. And thirdly, and most importantly, I want to tell you how you can know if you are prepared. So, firstly, God is extremely kind and gracious to give us such warnings. It is one of the evidences of the love of God and one of the many signs of his grace and favor that he warns mankind. In fact, the whole of Scripture is strewn with such warnings. From the beginning, God gave a warning to Adam in the garden. When Adam was perfect, he was without sin before he fell, God told Adam that he could eat of any of the fruits of the garden. But, warning, here's the warning, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in that day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. It was a clear, unambiguous warning. Adam could never, ever say to God, you never warned me. You never told me. Take the case of the flood. It took Noah 120 years. To build that huge, massive vessel. And all the time, what was he doing? Warning the people. A flood was coming. 120 years, warning and warning and warning. They laughed him to scorn. And consequently, after 120 years, eight people went into the ark and were saved. All the rest were swept away by the flood that God graciously warned them was coming. Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed by fire coming down as brimstone from the Lord, which burnt up these lawless and godless and wicked cities. Did they get a warning? Yes, they did. Who lived there? Lot. Lot lived there. He lived amongst them. Lot sat in the city gate as a type of public dignitary, a magistrate. And the people knew very well that he was different from the rest. 2 Peter 2, 7-8 says this, "And delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds." He was there. Now, it wasn't laudable to him that he was there in one sense, but nevertheless, his life bore witness to God and his holiness. Lot was a God-fearing man. They didn't like it. But through him, people heard the warning. Jesus Christ himself issued a warning to the Jews of his day in Luke 23, verses 28 to 29. Let me read these to you. "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, blessed are the barren, wombs that never bore, and breasts which never nursed." Jesus spoke this in an immediate sense, knowing the fate that was going to come upon Jerusalem. With his calm and prophetic eye, he looks beyond those intervening years and sees Jerusalem besieged, captured. What happened? People didn't bother listening to the warning. They didn't believe him. History tells us. In AD 70, when the Roman army came, they slaughtered the people wholesale. They took away, historians reason, about 500,000 or more of the Jewish people into captivity as slaves in Rome. And what did they do there? They had to build the amphitheatres, the Colosseum. And what happened there? Well, they were then thrown to the lions as sport. That's what happened to these Jewish people who didn't listen or heed the warning of God. They, like umpteen people today, didn't take to heart what God through Amos says to us tonight. Prepare to meet your God. And of course I have to ask, what about you? What about you? Are you here tonight preparing to meet God? Are you heeding God's warnings? If you were to die tonight, and who knows? If you were to die tonight, would you be prepared to meet God? Are you fleeing from the wrath to come? Or is your Christianity just for show? Another religion. Something to dress yourself with. Like a nice piece of jewelry. A brooch. Or a tie pin. A tie pin. Not too many people wear them. I meant to put one on tonight. Forgot. A tie pin. You put a tie pin on, for some of you who don't know, to keep your tie straight. Just about there, mine goes. Oddly enough, you can survive life without a tie pin. Pop it in, leave it out, makes no difference. Life goes on. Many will treat religion like that. Sadly, many will treat Christianity like that. Estimating that God, well, he's nice to think about, but ultimately doesn't really matter, doesn't matter that much to my life, hasn't had that much of an influence on my life. I sincerely pray that no one here tonight is thinking like that. Because God does matter. And he speaks to your immortal soul clearly tonight. And he says, prepare to meet God. One preacher put it this way. You had better meet a lion in his fury rather than meet God in his absolute strict justice. You see, the Bible is full of warnings. It's, if you like, a warning book. It's a book to prepare us for meeting our Maker. In fact, it is our Maker's guidebook to us. This is why it's so valuable. It's why it's so important. God did not give us this book as entertainment or amusement. It's not a collection of fairy stories or myths. This book is to prepare us to meet our Maker, to meet Almighty God. I wonder if you noticed in our reading that certain words are repeated again and again. Yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. I think that's said four or five times. Yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. Let me just remind you what the Lord is talking about here. God says, I've been sending signs of my displeasure to your society. I've withheld the rain. Your crops have died. I've cursed you with blasting and mildew. Your fruit has fallen off the tree, rotten, useless. I've given you cleanness of teeth. Huh. Now, just to clarify what that really means here. Hunger. Famine. I've given you cleanness of teeth in your cities. Two or three cities. Wandered into a city because there was no food. Not enough for them in other cities. So they started wandering. And the Lord says to them, yet you have not returned to me. God is clearly telling us that this people, remember, his people in this time on earth were not taking notice of his warnings. They were ignoring God. God was repeatedly, graciously warning them, and they willfully remained deaf to them all. In effect, what God is saying here is, how many more warnings do you actually want from me? I am saying, through the word of God tonight, how many warnings do you youngsters, how many warnings do you want? A sinner facing a thrice holy God without preparation is the most terrible condition imaginable. Charles Spurgeon made the point when he said this. God's indignation is no trifle. The anger of a holy, just, omnipotent and infinite being is above all things to be dreaded. Even a drop of it consumes, but to have it poured upon us is inconceivably dreadful. That is no exaggeration. No one speaks more about the justice of God than Jesus Christ himself. Do you remember his words in Matthew 5, 25, 26? I'll read them to you. Agree with your adversary quickly while you're on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny. That's a description of the sinner walking along the broad path of life with God as the sinner's adversary. Jesus is saying, agree with your adversary. That is God. Quickly agree with him, quickly. Before the adversary lay hold of you and sends you off into the hands of the Lord that will put you into prison. A prison that you will never get out of. A prison that you cannot escape until you've paid every last penny. But you have nothing. You are penniless. You are spiritually broke. Bankrupt. So this prison is the eternal prison of God's righteous judgment. We know what we call that. We know what God calls it. Hell. I ask again, how is your preparation? How's it going? Are you ready to meet God? God's warnings are kind. They are loving towards us. So I urge you, don't turn a deaf ear to this. Second point, why is it that people do not really prepare to meet God? Well, one significant reason is that many people are ignorant of what God is saying to them. They have no desire to know what God says to them. They have no desire to read the Bible. They have no desire to hear about it. They're content to remain in their ignorance. John 3:19. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and the men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. That's the condition of a large proportion of the people around us today. Now, of course, there is an enemy at work behind it all. I know that. An enemy who deceives men and women. The Puritans used to say, the devil takes sinners to hell by a winding staircase. They don't see the bottom until they've got there. C.S. Lewis said, the safest road to hell is the gradual one. The gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts. That's the enemy's well-practiced tactic. He deceives people. He gets people preoccupied with the things of this world and they put off their preparation to meet God. And in the end, what happens? They simply forget about it. In fact, to be fair, we can almost understand someone who says, do you know what? I've got enough on my plate at the moment. I'll think about meeting God another day. But from the devil's perspective, job done. Job done. They've put it off. If the devil keeps people so concerned with the things of this world on a daily basis, then he's got them in the end. Because death will creep up and seal their fate. How distressing it is that tens of thousands, maybe millions, I don't know, have lived lives where the Bible was freely available to them in their own language, where evangelical churches were openly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, yet they willfully remained ignorant of the one true Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Another reason why some people never prepare properly to meet God is because they don't want to turn from their worldly lifestyle. It's back to the tie pin or the flower and the label type of Christianity. Christianity is nothing more than an ornament that you wear in your life. It's not important, but it's elegant. It's something I like to talk of. Do you know what? I suspect many of us have met such people. People who will say, yes, I'm a Christian. Oh yes, that's my religion. And yes, I go to church. Occasionally. And that's enough for me. I don't think it's necessary to take these things too seriously. I'm not a fundamentalist. I'm a moderate-minded person. Live and let live, I say. After all roads lead to God. Haven't we heard people say that, or words to that effect? People in that state of mind are slowly going down that gentle spiral staircase. Step by step by step. And I say this with all sincerity. Every sinner who has died without Christ would give absolutely anything, everything, to get back and sit with us here tonight. Every sinner in hell would gladly trade 1,000 lifetimes to have 10 minutes of life with us here tonight. 10 more moments of opportunity to repent and believe in the beloved Son of God, Jesus Christ. What about you? What about you? Are you here tonight just as a formality? Ticking the boxes, but unmoved by the warnings of Almighty God? Friend, I must tell you that ticking the boxes, formal religion, and any amount of false religion, that won't prepare you to meet God. What the Word of God is declaring to you right now is real, and it is a personal warning. You can't ignore it. You dare not ignore it. I ask again, how is your preparation going? Are you ready to meet God? Think what a tragedy it would be if someone here tonight has to say at the end of their life, and we don't know when that will be, they have to say, I missed or I ignored the warning. Now it's too late. Yes, I had a Bible. Mum and Dad bought it for me. I heard the sermon. Yeah, I heard it. Yes, I even noted that it was a warning. But I ignored it. Or I put it off for another day. And now my life has ended. I thought I had more time to be prepared to meet God. That is what millions will be thinking on the last day. But how dreadfully sad to think of a person, any person, coming so close to God in this life, and yet at the end of their life, meets God wholly unprepared. So, I've given you a couple of reasons why people do not prepare to meet their God, and I'm sure there are some more. There is a good possibility that someone here tonight is holding on to their reason for not preparing to meet God. Well, I want to ask you to consider these words from Proverbs 22. 22:3 and Proverbs 27:12. They virtually say the same thing. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Here is the real difference between a wise man and a fool. The wise man foresees the shadow of trouble coming, and he hides in Christ by faith. The fool just passes on and is punished. How close you are. Those of you who are not professing to be Christians, those of you who have never asked Christ to be in your life, how close you are right now to that blessed safety which Christ offers you. How close you are when all you have to do in your heart right now is to personally ask God, not out in the open, but secretly in your own soul, to have mercy upon you. A sinner, to forgive you in Christ's perfect name. I assure you that if you pray to God seriously, if you pray to God earnestly and sincerely for His forgiveness, He will hear you. He will answer you. And that applies to whoever you are. However young you are, however old you are, whatever your circumstances, however long you've been in church or never been in church. Doesn't matter. God will answer. And He will answer in the affirmative. He will save you. Which brings me on to our third point. How are you to prepare? What must you know? Well, the essential thing to know is what the Bible tells us from start to finish. To put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. No one else. No other thing. Jesus Christ and Him alone. And to be sorry for your sins. Asking God to forgive you. It's what repentance is. Not only being sorry for your sins, but to turn from them. Now, I've got to make this clear. We're not talking about magic or abracadabra. Nor are we talking about some obscure form of knowledge brought about by extreme hardship or complex circumstances. We're plainly talking about the gospel, the good news of Christ, the straightforward good news that He came to save sinners. I'm so pleased He didn't come for the righteous. It would be a wasted journey. We're all sinners. We're talking about personally inviting Christ into your life. To have Him as your Saviour. We're talking about giving up your life of sin and giving your life over to Christ as your Saviour. And if you are serious about this warning from God tonight, we're talking about doing it now. Now. Don't put it off. You daren't risk it. And if you ask God to save you, you will be saved in an instant. You will find no resistance from God. He will give you life and life in abundance. And that life will be for eternity. Can't get any better than that. Dear listener, let me state the obvious to you. Unless the Lord returns, we're all going to die. That's a given certainty. One day, we're all going to die. What is not certain is what that day will be, when it will be. As Tertullian, the 3rd century church father, put it, it is a poor thing to fear that which is inevitable. It's inevitable. And I asked everyone in this building again, how is your preparation going? Are you ready to meet God? The work has been done on the cross. The blood has been shed. The price has been paid. The only thing left is for the forgiveness to be received by you. I could offer you a £50 note. There might be one or two who would be quick to accept it. I can offer it to you by holding it out in my hand. But until you reach out and take it from me, it's not yours. The same is true with God's forgiveness. Until you receive it, it's not yours. So, receive Christ into your life personally as your Saviour. One day, at a Bible conference in America, Miss F. Crosby was asked by D.L. Moody to give a personal testimony. At first, she hesitated, and then she quietly rose and said, "There is one hymn I have written which has never been published. I call it my soul's poem. Sometimes when I am troubled, I repeat it to myself, for it brings comfort to my heart. She then recited while many wept. Someday the silver cord will break, and I no more as now shall sing. But oh, the joy when I shall wake within the palace of the King. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story, saved by grace. At the age of 95, Fanny Crosby passed into glory and saw the face of Jesus. I urge you tonight, dear listener, whoever you are, prepare to meet God. Amen.